Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal at QR Calgary and More Than Money. I teased before the break, is your investment strategy back a bad tax strategy? Let's put some context around that.
Let's take a step back from a political perspective and go back in history. You'll kind of get an idea, regardless of who the administration is, that there's some sort of tax policy that they're kind of going around. The objective, and let's take the most recent administration for the past almost 8 years, if you were to draw the normal distribution curve or the population all drawn out based on income, you can kind of put a line in the sand of where most of the programs that the government federally and most of the provincial side is focusing on is focused. Their focus has been on Canadians earning on an individual basis income less than $90,000. Now, give or take, it can toggle up or down depending on the program, but generally speaking, 90,000 is a very interesting number.
Okay. Per person.
Per person. Once your income level is above $90,000 on an individual basis, the programs start to drop off, the tax rates start to go up, and the policies start to go after those individuals. And even more so if you have over $250,000 of income.
Up from there, it gets worse. Yeah.
So there's when you're looking at why an investment strategy can ruin the whole tax strategy and vice versa, you're going to get into where do you fit in this distribution curve?
Right.
Are you in the $90,000 or less? Have a tax strategy for that because you don't want to get bumped up. You don't want to have clawback on your old age security. You don't want to have all these things if you can prevent it.
Yep.
So let's look at tax strategies for that. That's one section. The ones that are making over $90,000 of income, when you start to invest, what a lot of Canadians do is they just invest in what I call the basics, the vanilla investing. They invest in stocks. Mm-hmm. They may invest in bonds or GICs. And if we're lucky, they may invest in real estate.
Right.
Plain vanilla.
Right.
And I mean, real estate is like literally brick and mortar.
Right.
Not a pool of, private real estate and so forth. I'm talking about plain vanilla. Okay. When you have an individual who's making that kind of income, $90,000 or greater, on their notice of assessment, then you have to have layers of investment strategy.
Layers, got it. Keyword, we'll come back to that.
So think of this as a pyramid.
Right.
On the base of the pyramid, you need liquidity.
Right.
You need some of that plain vanilla type of investing.
Sure.
So you could access that capital right away.
Right.
But generally speaking, when you're at that level, you're not going to be needing all of this money
immediately,
or even in the next 10 years.
Right.
You know that. So now you can take on different types of investments that provide different rates of return and different risk levels and have a better tax outlay.
Okay. So let's talk about that. Let's go into some detail on that.
Okay. So when you're looking at the different tax outlay, you're going to hear the comments from many Canadians saying, I just want an 8% rate of return. Let's use that number for example. 8% does not mean 8% to the individual. It means a rate of return that the investment created.
Right.
What you take on an after-tax basis is different.
Right.
But when you're at a level where you're on the second tier, you've already got your liquidity, your base, your vanilla investing.
Yeah.
Now you're trying to look for diversification, preservation of capital, and you're looking for a good rate of return.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at that, you want to make sure that they are all what you're looking at, big tax strategy.
Right.
They're tax compliant. And what I find when people who've got $2, $3, $4 million portfolios, $40 million portfolios, $400 million portfolios, it generally turns into these are just investments that were good ideas at the time because they were tax preferential.
Right.
Where's the flow? Where's the synergy? What's the correlation between each asset that you own?
Yeah. You can't say as soon as you use the term strategy, it's got to be connected somehow and you need to understand the connections, right? And then you've also used, I think, a keyword, layers. A strategy can be a single layer. But as the portfolio value, as the net worth goes higher, right, it stands to reason that complexity goes up and there should be layers within that strategy dealing with different components, that pyramid that you spoke of.
Correct. And so when you start building the tax policy around the investment objectives, now you can look at, first, from a tax perspective, does it make sense? Number two, how's the investment correlation with each of them? And I'll give the basic example that many Canadians have said to us, especially in this province, over the last 27 years that I've been in this business. I'm well diversified. I've got 17 oil companies and a Canadian equity mutual fund.
Yeah, some banks.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're only diversified because you bought 17 different companies,
right,
but they're all in the same sector.
Right.
When you take a step back and say, what happens if oil falls 50%?
Right.
Oh, well, then my portfolio is going to be even more at risk.
Right.
So not understanding that you could have a collection of good ideas at the time, that doesn't mean it's cohesive with each other,
right,
and can cause even more risk to you should something go wrong.
Right.
And when you're at a spot where you're earning $90,000 or more in personal income, that policy is going to come after you. When you're making $250,000 or more, they're going to come after you from a tax
even
perspective.
More. That's right.
But the last thing you want to see is trying to do all these different ideas to mitigate that tax, and then all of a sudden you're losing capital.
Right.
We said this earlier in the show. One way of not paying tax is losing money.
Yep. Yep. Don't make it or lose it. You won't pay tax, right?
And so why have that as a high output or option on the table?
Okay. So let's talk about this idea of sort of bespoke and alternatives. You talked about vanilla. So if it's not, vanilla isn't just the answer. Then there's other things. And listen, I think it's important to remind people, you don't let the tax tail wag the investment dog, right? You build your investment strategy, and then you do the tax overlay, deduct, divide, defer, or 3D model against that to make sure that you're as tax efficient as you possibly can be given the current tax environment, right? So, you know, we've been talking a lot about that this week, this notion of layers and building beyond just the vanilla for those people that you've identified with that line in the sand.
So there's, when we talk about alternative investments, we have to be very careful with that word, because it's going to be used a lot now going forward.
Yeah, to describe everything. Yes.
To describe everything.
Yeah, it'll be a catch-all. Yeah.
Okay. There are when you look at a portfolio of the vanilla, the bottom base of a person's portfolio, and you're starting to build a second tier, you have to look at what are the constituents in the base layer. And what could be missing, or what could you protect from that base layer?
Right.
So let me give you an example. Earlier this year, we had an opportunity to create and invest with some of the most astute real estate investors in Canada in a project in New Jersey.
Yep. Real estate project.
So real estate project.
Yep.
It's a development and then a sale. That's the objective of this. Now, that's not suitable for everybody.
Correct. Why? We'll talk about liquidity.
There's liquidity.
Yes.
You won't see that money for 5 years, let's say.
Yeah.
The returns are projected to be phenomenal. It's in a great location, but you don't have liquidity. So it can't be in your base layer,
right,
generally speaking. Number two, if your base layer is full of real estate, you're taking on a risk.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not diversifying by adding more real estate.
Correct.
Yeah.
So knowing what's the constituents in the base layer and adding that in our situation for our clients, that layer added another way of reaching a rate of return that's better than owning, you know, simple vanilla investments,
yeah,
and still give a more tax preferential treatment. So now you're adding contributing investments versus detracting investments.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. Listen, I think we just wanted to raise awareness about that. Let's do some more shows about this, because I think this is important for people, especially as taxes continue to change and probably just get worse for that group.
And if you want to know about the layering process, you can reach out to us or go to our website to register for our seminar. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com and we'll see you at our upcoming seminar.
Okay. Thanks for joining us for another edition of More Than Money on QR Calgary. On behalf of Faisal and myself, Dave, talk to you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodcundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodcundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodcundy is a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.